I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it might bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. For men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, even as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and I hope that today there is a word in season for your heart to draw you to personal faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. Christians need to trust the Lord all the more, but if you're not a Christian, if you're not saved, you need to cry out and call on the Lord for salvation. Salvation is to those who call upon the name of the Lord. Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Do not cast off the opportunities, but seek the Lord while you may find him. And today, as we turn to this passage of John 15:5, abiding in the Lord Jesus, finding our total satisfaction in him, and that's going to be the key word today in the message that's coming up, satisfaction. And the question is, are you a satisfied Christian? In a sense, every Christian speaks of being wonderfully satisfied, and yet we want more, because our hearts will not rest until we see the Lord and are brought into glory. What a wonderful hope is born in our souls. And so I hope that today that you will be blessed through the message of John 15:5, abiding in the vine.
This is why we always stand for the deity, the full divinity of the Lord Jesus. And in this Gospel of John, we've had it in so many ways that Jesus is equal with the Father. He that honoreth the Son honoreth the Father. And I and my Father are one, for which the Jews would have stoned him. Jesus pointed out it over and over that he is God come in the flesh. And so we believe in his person. He's not just a teacher, a guide. He is God. And we come to the true vine to draw from him. Then also we have faith in his sacrifice. What he accomplished on the cross in his atoning death is all sufficient. Jesus himself personally is all sufficient. But his atoning work on the cross, his sacrifice, is also all sufficient. And we have our trust. We abide in the Lord Jesus by continually resting in the sufficiency of the atoning death of the Lord Jesus. Now, back in John chapter 6, we have a very interesting little passage, and we'll begin to read at verse 48, and where the Lord speaks of himself. He says, I am the bread of life. Now, in John chapter 6, the Lord had just performed the miracle of feeding the 5,000. And what a staggering impression that made upon the people. They were greatly impressed. And now he is saying, I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Now, what does that mean? Here are the Jews really upset about this. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Now here's verse 56, and this is the goal. Here's the target verse. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. There's the union now. Notice that at the end of verse 56. Dwelleth in me. There's the abiding. There's the union. There's the communion. And it's two-way. We abide in the Lord, and he abides in us. Now, what is the meaning of these verses? Eating the flesh of the Lord Jesus and drinking his blood. Well, let me firstly say, it's not communion. It has nothing to do with Holy Communion, because the Lord's table wasn't even instituted at this point. It is not what we do when we drink the cup and eat the bread. We do not turn this into another sacrifice of real bread and real blood. This again is figurative language. And Jesus is saying that he gave his flesh for the life of the world. That's what he did on the cross. That was his atoning work. His own body nailed to the cross. And out of that body flowed the virtue of his blood. That's the sacrifice that he offered. Now we as believers, or living the branch life, we rest in, we trust in that sacrifice. It's enough. The blood has paid it all, and now I am united to the Lord Jesus, and I am totally resting in him for salvation. And I cannot impress on you enough that to abide in the Lord Jesus is to feast upon his atoning death at the cross. Are you doing that every day? Now, I'm not just speaking about communion. Communion is the corporate means of doing this as a body, as a church. But each believer, every devotional time, every time we pray and meet with the Lord, we should come with a total confidence and resting in the death and the sufficiency of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. That's the only way to abide in the vine. You must think much of him and realize the virtue that is in the Lord Jesus. And surely so much of the emptiness in Christian hearts is their failure to abide, to feast on the Lord, to dwell upon him, and fix their focus upon all that he is. And without that, how can you draw from him? You can't draw from the Lord if he is not all sufficient in his person and in his crosswork. And so that's the abiding, that's the trusting. Now, the third big point is our drawing. Branch life requires that we draw our life from the life of the Lord. Now, it's very simple in one way, because we ask, what exactly does a branch do? It simply sucks the life out of the vine. It nourishes itself on the life of the vine. And that makes it to grow, it makes it to blossom, and it makes it to bear fruit. It's the life of the vine flowing through the branch that brings forth the fruit. And so we draw every Christian grace from the life of the Lord. Think of the answer to our catechism question, what is God? God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his power, wisdom, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. Now, in that answer, there are three aspects of God which are incommunicable or non-transferable. God, who is infinite, eternal, unchangeable. Those are things that we will never be. We're creatures. We can never become God. That's why I said being partakers of this divine nature does not change us into God. We remain creatures. We are always finite. We are always changeable. Infinite, eternal, unchangeable. We are never eternal. We are time-based. But the other parts to the answer, and there are six of them, are called the communicable attributes of the Lord. That means they are transferable. And they do flow into the life of the Christian. Wisdom. We draw our wisdom from the Lord. And of course, we want godly wisdom. We don't want the wisdom of the world. We don't want just to be a shark. We want to have godly wisdom. And it is that wisdom which begins with the fear of the Lord. And true wisdom enables us to do everything with an eye to God's glory, conscious of his blessing, conscious of what is pleasing to God and brings honor unto him. And when we do all for God's glory, we have true wisdom. That's where wisdom is. Glorifying our Heavenly Father in every decision, every word, in our character, in our friendships and relationships, that we are wise. That is the godly wisdom. The second communicable attribute is power. God is mighty in power, but he also gives power unto us. And just as the branch receives its strength from the vine, you and I as Christians draw our strength from the Lord. He giveth strength. Wait on the Lord. We are not to faint and become weary. Men ought always to pray and not to become weary. And the Lord gives his energy, his life into the soul of his people. Then there's holiness, wisdom, power, holiness. Now, holiness can never be worked up in the energy of the flesh. And you've heard me say many times, it has to be prayed down. It's not our works, but it is the Lord working in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's his life flowing into us and through us by which he makes us holy. Holiness is not a set of rules. Holiness is the spirit of holiness. It is this character, this life of the Lord flowing into us so that we are formed more and more into his likeness. And let me remind you again that in justification, we receive imputation of holiness. Holiness is bestowed upon us so that we stand in God without sin. But in our sanctification, holiness is imparted. It is infused into our lives. So we truly become internally holy, intrinsically holy. And that is the life, the sap of the vine flowing into the branch. And as we take the branch life, we pray for the Lord's holiness to flow into our hearts and into our lives. The fourth one is justice. And this is the ability to hate evil and to love the good. Now, that's really the key to godly living, to hate the evil and love the good. In our prayer times, we pray, Lord, help me to hate sin. Make me to hate everything that you hate. And make me to cleave to everything that is good in your eyes. And there is the spirit of justice, of standing for what is right and against what is wrong, by that inner disposition of loving the good, hating the evil. Now also there is goodness flowing into the life of the Christian. Now the goodness of God, that really is the great heartbeat of God toward his people. And that goodness really is God's love and God's grace toward us. He giveth and he giveth and he giveth again. And we are partakers of the Lord's goodness so that we are transformed personally into people who are known as good. Good, generous, kind, loving, because the love of God flows into our hearts. And it's right for you and me to pray, Lord, let your love flow into my soul. Let your love flow into my heart each hour of each day. Take away all bitterness and rancor and everything that is evil in my heart. And let your love fill me. Let the fruit of love be born in my life. And of course, love is so important. It is the greatest of all graces, and it will transform your life as a husband, a wife, a mother, a boy or girl. It'll transform your love, a loving person, because you have the love of God flowing into you. And in verse 9, you'll see, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. What amazing. That love between the Father and the Son, the Lord Jesus loves us the same way. And he says, continue, abide ye in my love. We must pray for that love to flow into our lives and through us to others. And then the last one, number six of the communicable attributes, is truth. Nothing forms character more than truth. Our Lord Jesus embodied truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He was absolute truth, and he reflected the nature of the Father perfectly, genuinely. There was no dissemination. There was no loss of facts. There was full, transparent revelation of the Father. And so Jesus is the truth. And we, as we draw from the Lord his life, we will be men, women, boys and girls, known for truth. We will be the truth personified. We will walk in the truth. And John said that he had no greater joy than that his little children walked in the truth. And truth is our testimony. Truth now becomes our ministry. As we preach to the world, we have a ministry of truth. But unless we have that truth flowing into our lives, our ministry will be very weak and ineffective. And so we need the power of the Lord flowing into us. Now, the opposite to truth, of course, is the lie of the devil. And the devil is a liar from the beginning. He cannot speak the truth. He cannot encourage the truth. And so we cling to the Lord Jesus that we might be fashioned to be proclaiming the truth of God. And so this is life as a branch in the vine. And I want to impress on you, I want to underline this, and if you want to write this down, please do. We are not as a branch called to do the life of the vine. We're just branches. We're just to do our part, drawing the life of the Lord to bear his fruit that he works through us. Let his life flow through us. Life as a branch, therefore, is not burdensome. We're not called upon to do something that we can't do. We're just to let the Lord work through us. We're just to abide in him. And as we constantly abide, drawing our all from the Lord, he does the work. He is in charge of the fruit. The end product is the doing of the Lord. And that is never burdensome, but that is a blessing. Now, of course, the Lord reminds us that without me, ye can do nothing. And of course, many times we have served and failed, and that's always because we have not abided. We have not drawn from the Lord. We failed to live the branch life. And so let the Lord fill your life. And let the Lord fill your life so that there's no room for the flesh, no room for self, no need for props, or at least false props, carnal props, no need for those things that are questionable. It is Jesus, Jesus only, that we need working in our hearts and in our souls. And I plead with you today, take the message of John 15 and live the life of a branch, depending on the Lord Jesus. And oh, it will surprise us, the fruit that he will bring forth in our lives. I pray today that this will be a life-changing message. I know that in the life of Hudson Taylor, the missionary to China, that John 15 was life-changing. And there are many, many Christians, when they came to grasp living life as a branch, that it changed so much for them. It brought them into a blessedness they never thought possible, and into a usefulness that only God could work in his branches, his people. And so we praise the Lord. And this gives us to understand what Paul meant when he said that when we are weak, then are we strong. Or when he said that we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. That's the life of the branch. May the Lord in his grace work his will and his blessing upon your soul today. Let's unite in prayer and we'll ask the Lord to speak on to us.
There is a place of quiet rest dear to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest dear to the heart of God. Oh,
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We're on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on the station as we let the Bible speak.